This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. This is going to be, all right, it already is, a political cycle unlike any other for reasons we are all aware of. But alongside that is a very real need to keep one's eye on the economic ball, which is what we're going to do today. And we're going to do it with Neela Richardson. She's at ADP, and Rachel Siegel. She is at The Washington Post. Hey, you two.
Hi, Kai.
Neela, let me start with you. We have to start, I think, with inflation. CPI came in this week a little bit hotter than anybody wanted. Were you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised because the driver of inflation, the big one, shelter costs, it just hasn't really relented. And it harkens back to the fact that there's still a housing affordability problem in the country. There's still inventory shortages. And so that's not cyclical. It's not something that can be fixed in the short term. I think what was the surprise here is the uptick in gases and the driver of insurance premiums, which is playing havoc with the index right now. But it's always something. Shelter costs have been a constant with the inflation these days.
It is always something. Rachel, on your first Friday with us, let me throw you straight in to the jaws of the belly of the beast, as it were. Put yourself inside the mind of Jay Powell, the Fed chair, obviously, and imagine his conversation inside his brain saying, well, do we pause now forever? Do we wait and see what happens? What is Jay Powell thinking?
Well, I would have to assume that those thoughts are probably being asked by, or two, many PhD economists around Jay Powell. If I had to imagine what those questions look like, it has to do with, you know, this question that they've been asking, is this a blip, is this a bump, or is this a more worrisome trend? And March really seemed to cement the latter, right? So the question is, what do they do with that? How many cuts does that mean? And when do they do it? And they're juggling not only with the number of cuts, but the timeline, right? Because it's not like the Fed is considering cuts in a calendar year that only revolves around the Fed. There's an election coming up, and the closer they cut to November, the trickier that pivot is going to get.
I'm glad you went there. We will finish that thought in about 2.5 minutes, because that's where I want to end. But Neela, let me ask you this. How are we going to know? Actually, not how are we going to know, because we're going to know by the data. But is your sense that inflation is stuck where it is, which is slightly elevated from where the Fed wants it to be? Or is it bumpy and eventually the Fed's going to win out?
I think it's bumpy and eventual, but it might, that eventual may have a very long tail. I sit and look at a lot of payroll data at ADP, about 25 million workers. And what I see is an uptick in wages, especially for people who've changed jobs in the last year. And so labor costs is going to be a big factor also into the input of goods. And I think that we're going to see, you know, match with that very hot employment picture that we saw last week, 300,000 jobs created in this economy, that the labor market is still in play and wages are not to be ruled out as not triggering more inflation, but keeping inflation kind of stalled at where it is for a longer period of time.
Wait, say more about that in the labor market is still in play thing. What do you mean by that? Because that obviously, I mean, Powell and the gang are keeping a really close eye on that.
As they should, because wages are the bridge between the labor market and inflation. And usually with higher interest rates, people, and when I say people, I always mean economists, assume that there is this trade-off, that with higher interest rates, it's really going to make the labor market vulnerable and the unemployment rates will spike up. Even Powell himself said at Jackson Hole last year that there will be pain by the consumer, by the worker. But we haven't seen that. What we've seen is a very strong, very resilient labor market where wage growth has been robust and solid. And if wages keep that pace, it's not really consistent with a 2% inflation target. So you add that to shelter costs and the higher energy costs we saw last month, and you get a really complex picture for the Fed to keep track of.
Is it possible, do you think, Rachel, that the first move by the Fed is not a cut, but a hike in rates?
I feel like that hasn't quite entered the conversation yet. And obviously, you know, Neela, please correct me if the winds seem to be shifting that way. But it seems that right now, at least, The conversation is still between cuts or just higher for longer. And the higher for longer assumes staying where they are. You know, there isn't an urgency to cut. The economy is looking really strong. And unless we started to see a weakening in the kind of labor market strength that Nila was just talking about, they might not have a reason to cut anytime soon. I think, though, that that would lean towards just keeping rates where they are. Then again, we've learned time and time again that just because that's the way the economy looks right now doesn't mean that it'll stick that way. And we could be having a different conversation depending on where the data goes.
Yeah, well, so Nila, quickly, you know, when I had Powell at the San Francisco Fed like 2 weeks ago now, and I asked him, you know, what I asked him in essence, what do you make of this economy? And he did all but shrug and say, things are still weird. How much is the weirdness a factor?
Weirdness is a factor because we're not expecting the labor market to perform in the way it is. And we've seen consumers be pretty resilient to very steep price increases for a really long time. Now, I do think that that consumer staying power is softening a little bit, but yeah, the economy is strong. And by the way, Kai, that's a good thing. I
Totally.
mean, let's not complain
Totally.
about the good things in
Right,
life. This
right.
is good that the economy is strong, but as Rachel mentions, it means that the urgency to cut is not there. And then without an urgent reason, an
Right.
urgent trigger to make some kind of definitive action, I think the Fed and Chair Powell is perfectly happy holding this position.
Right. Totally. These are good problems to have. Rachel, very quickly on that note you struck before about the politics of the Federal Reserve and to where I started this program today. The politics of this economy are going to become more pronounced over the next 6 months, especially if the Fed does decide to start cutting rates into the closer we get to Election Day. Discuss that for a minute and 10 seconds, please.
Sure. You know, this is going to bump up really close up to the wall and then right into that exact home stretch where President Biden and former President Trump are trying to drive home their own economic agendas. And even though the Fed's own decisions, they say, will be totally independent from that process, they don't operate in a vacuum. Those moves are going to affect the housing market and other parts of the broader economy that we already know are playing a massive role in how voters are thinking about who they're going to cast their vote for November. So the Fed might otherwise wish the timeline was different, but this is just how 2024 is shaping up.
It is indeed. Rachel Siegel at the Washington Post, Nila Richardson at ADP on a Friday afternoon. Thanks, you two.
Thank you,
Thank you,
Kai.
Kai.